All right. Well, thank you for your generosity in giving. Boy, it's I don't know about the rest of you, but this talking and teaching and preaching on spiritual warfare has like ripped the scab off of a sore. And boy, I'll tell you, the enemy will come after you. I know he's coming after me in a lot of different ways. I believe this about the enemy. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Amen? And you can be busy doing good stuff, but there's a difference between good stuff and God stuff. Amen? And so I think I have grayed that line quite a bit. Not sure just where that's at because I'm running like my hair's on fire, but, well, that's probably not a good analogy. Maybe that's evidence. I don't know. Let's get into this tonight. I want to move on and talk about spiritual warfare and what it means to stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so I want to go back to our original scripture, and we're going to go over this scripture and over it and over it and over it because, listen, number one, repetition's good for us. And number two, you can't hear God's word too much. Amen. And says this in Ephesians 6 and 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." I want to go back just for a second to verse 12, because verse 12, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, I've never done anything like this here. But when we were in Utah and had the church down there, Utah, St. George, Utah, sits down in a valley. It's a valley there. Interstate 15 runs right through the middle of it, and there are literally four geographical places around that city, the airport being one. There's all these different places. And so I felt like the Lord said one time when I was preaching on this that to place... Because it's heavenly, it's up higher, and so I put prayer teams on north, south, east, and west over the city that could actually look down into the city. Now there's obviously a city, you know, rural area and suburbs behind them, but the bulk of the city, in fact, the very first temple that Joseph Smith ever built is in that city, and we were looking right down on it. And I had specific things that I wanted them to pray about, and so I established them there on those four points of the city. And one of the guys in the church had an airplane. And so I went up with him in an airplane, and we flew over those four prayer teams in the heavenlies, literally, in the heavenly realm. And we actually saw some great things happen, I believe, because of that event. And so, you know, sometimes I think we have to take God's word literal. I mean, we have to really put it literally. And it's talking about in the, that was as close to the heavens as I could get. And it had an impact. We did the same kind of thing. We just actually flew out to Colorado City, and which is there's three polygamist colonies, if you will, cities, towns out there, and we actually flew out there and flew over those three cities and prayed, and people from there actually started coming to our church. It was crazy. It was crazy. And there were some that give their heart to the Lord, and in fact, all of them that came did. They went through a lot. They went through a lot of rejection and stuff, because if you sway away from that, man, you're ostracized. It's bad. But thank God that they did. But I just wanted to point that out, that sometimes we just have to do things that are a little against the norm, but that line up with God's word. If we want to see God's power move, amen. So in the Christian life, we battle against rulers and authorities, which are the powerful evil forces of fallen angels that are headed up by Satan himself. And you have to understand, and I said this on Sunday, but Satan's vicious. He's vicious. He don't care if you get your feelings hurt. He don't care if you lose friendships. He doesn't care if your family abandons you for your faith. He doesn't care. That he is vicious. And so in order for us to withstand the attacks, we have to depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor. See, Paul was not only giving this counsel to the church, which is the body of Christ, but to all individuals that are within the church. The whole body needs to be armed. The whole body needs to be armed. The whole body needs to be suited up in this army. And we've talked several different times about this vision that Bob and Janice had, and mostly Janice, and Bob peeled off of that and went. But Janice was sharing that every piece of that armor was specific, right? For every one of us. I can't wear Chris's armor, and Chris can't wear my armor, because we're fighting different battles, if you will. Amen? The enemy's going to attack you different than he's going to attack me. We have different vulnerabilities, I think, and so our armor's going to look a little bit different. It's going to still be the same armor, but it's going to be fitted to us. It's going to be, tailored for our specific battle. That's a good word. Whoever said tailored over there, that's good. You don't wear soccer clothes to a football game, right? I mean, you just don't do that. That's just crazy. So, the whole body needs to be armed, and the whole body needs to be in the armor. And so as we battle against the powers of this dark world, we need to fight in the strength of the church, whose power comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's the one. We'll be endued with power, it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that after that the Holy Ghost comes on you. You and I will be endued with power. With not only just power, but with, the Bible says it's dunamis power. Dunamis is the word that we get our word dynamite from. So we recognize that it is an explosive, forceful kind of power that we are given by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. So, trust in that. And listen, there ain't enough demon devils in hell to overtake the Holy Spirit. They're just not. And so you and I, as we go into battle, you can go into battle, you can resist the enemy, and know that you're going to come out a winner. Because you, listen, if you have never been picked on, put on the winning team before, you're on the winning team now. Amen. Period. We win this thing. Amen. So I want to talk about putting on the full armor of God, all of it, the belt of truth, we've talked about, in our Sunday mornings, but we're going to touch on some of these things on Wednesday night too. Listen, I think we're living in a time when every child of God had better know what it means to have the armor, what it means to be, what each piece specifically does, what the benefit of those are, and how to use them. If I just give somebody a gun and say, hey, let's go hunting, and they've never touched a gun before, couple things. Number one, I'm not letting them out of my sight. Right? They're not getting out of my sight. Listen, I wouldn't do that without giving some instruction and taking them out and doing some shooting and those kinds of things, because it's just stupid. It just really is. And so we have to know what the armor is, what our weaponry is, and how to use it. So Paul talks about the belt of truth. Truth overcomes deceit and lies, and it equips us to walk uprightly in our Christian lives. What does it even mean to walk uprightly? What does that mean to you to be able to walk upright? You ever seen somebody that has just been abused or been mistreated and they walk around with their heads down and they can't lift their head, they can't look you in the eye because they're just, I mean, I've seen dogs that have been that way, that have just been abused and kicked around and all that, and their tail's always hanging down and their head's down, their ears are down. That's what when this is talking about to walk uprightly, you know in whom you have believed. You know whose you are, and you know that you have that Holy Spirit inside of you, equipping you and empowering you, and the devil will come and he'll beat on you and I, but we can hold our head up high knowing, hey, you know what, you might have given me some bruises today, but I win this battle. I'm on the winning side, and you can't stop me. Walking in confidence, yes. Uprightly. So in this letter here, Paul is explaining the need for unity in the body of believers. How many of you know this? The Bible says that a house divided can't stand. A house divided can't stand. So we gotta be in one mind. Well, if you go back to Acts chapter 1 again, and, Jesus told them to go and to pray in the upper room, right? And he said, that you'll be endued with power. And what was it? What was one of the prerequisites? What was one of the things that they said was that they were in what? One mind and one accord. There was no isms and schisms, and there was no division amongst them. They had a centralized focus, and they were all pressing toward the same mark. This church is growing and is going to continue to grow as we continue to come together in the same purpose as the early church, which is evangelizing and spreading the gospel of Jesus to a world that's lost without God. Amen. And so as we unify around that, that will become our battle cry. And so Paul's explaining the need for unity in the body of believers. And so here he further explains the need for that unity. There will be inevitable clashes with evil. And the church has to be ready to stand and fight. Amen. You know, he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. It's referring to strength that's derived from God. It's not talking about strength that we humans have and that we have somehow obtained. You know, we can quote chapter and verse of, you know, the whole Bible or whatever. Listen, that ain't going to get you much. I mean, it's good to know that. It's good to have that. But you can have all the head knowledge you want. But if it isn't in your heart, if it hasn't changed your heart, you know, I say it that a lot of people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches, which is roughly this distance. And because you can know it here, but if it hasn't been applied here, it's not doing you any good. We've got to trust in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. These words, be strong, it describes, listen, this is going to help somebody. Be strong describes a continual empowering of the Christian community. Amen? It talks about a continual empower. Listen, one dose of the Holy Ghost ain't enough. Hey, I don't know if you know that or not, but one dose ain't enough. We need a fresh anointing. That's what the Bible says, that His mercies are new every morning. And we need a fresh new anointing every morning. God's strength and His power are part of the kingdom blessings that are available to you and I as His children. I have to say it again. There's an inheritance laid up for you and I. And what Jesus had, we have. Jesus, I love the fact that Jesus said in His Word, the things that I do, you'll do. And that's really cool. How many of you know that? I mean, He raised the dead. He healed the lame. He caused blind eyes to see, deaf ears to be opened up. He went to a funeral, touched the casket, touched the coffin, whatever it was. Bam! The guys are like, what? That freak out everybody. I mean, that'll just freak up. Everybody's just freaking out. Whoa! Let's just go have a potluck. All right, let's do it. He turned the water into wine. He did all that kind of stuff. That's some cool stuff. He walked on the water. He told those guys in the boat, y'all are fishing on the wrong side. Try the other side. Now listen, we are professional fishermen. We have been out here all night long, and we haven't caught a blame fish. He's like, well, just try it on the other side. And what happened? They couldn't even drag him in. The boats are sinking. He said, those things, the things that I do, you'll do. But He takes it a step further and He says, even greater things than these will you do because I go to the Father. And what did He say? If He goes to the Father, what did He say? He said, I ain't leaving you alone. He said, I will send you a helper. The Paraclete. The Holy Ghost. That's what He said. His strength and His mighty power are part of kingdom blessings that are available to us. Listen, the power that raised Christ from the dead empowers God's people as they prepare for the spiritual battle that they have to face on earth. Did you hear what I just said? The same power that raised Christ from the dead. That power is the power that empowers you and I as God's people as we prepare for spiritual battle. Too many times I think the people in the church are like the guy that I used as an illustration a few weeks ago that said, look, I'm not gonna provoke battle, or I'm not gonna, you know, incite battle or any of that kind of stuff. And the other guy said, look, whether you do or not, it don't make a difference because the battle's on you whether you want it or not. And so we've got to, as God's people, we've got to be prepared to fight this battle. Every day of every moment of every day. We will need it because as the text goes on and continues, the struggle occurs in the spiritual realm and must be won with spiritual weapons. You can't go down to the Bi-Mart or Sportsman's and buy a gun or a knife or any other weaponry to fight this spiritual battle, because you have to fight a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. It's just the way it works. And while the victory is certain, the battle still must be waged. Isn't that amazing? Paul's words are in the plural addressed to the church who, like a warrior, needs to put on the complete armor of God. So, of course, the combined effort calls for each member's fullest participation. Look at a sporting event. Let's just use football. I never played football in school or any of that, but I watched enough of it to know that if those guys on the front line don't do their job, them guys running the ball, the quarterback, the halfback, the fullback, they're not going to get their job done because somebody else isn't doing their job. Amen? Everybody needs to be there. Everybody needs to participate. God's people have to put on the whole armor of God. The panophilia, which is another name for the full armor, means complete equipment. It talks about from head to toe protection, both defensively and offensively. And the gear was for hand-to-hand combat, not for appearances. Amen? It was not for appearances. The Christians face a struggle against evil, and it's describing hand-to-hand combat. But we're not in an earthly military type of campaign, but the battle is not against, and our battle, rather, is not against enemies of blood and flesh. How many of us sometimes have felt like our enemy is flesh and blood? I mean, we really do. But we have to realize, though they might be flesh and blood that are causing all this, for lack of a better term, evilness to come upon us, or that we have to now deal with, we have to remember they're being influenced by the enemy. And remember what I said at the start? He's vicious. He doesn't care. He don't care how you feel about a certain thing. If he can use you to inflict pain on someone else, that's exactly what he's going to do. Because he's that vicious. So, the reality is, we battle the demons over whom Satan has control. And the demons work to tempt people to sin, to do whatever. We have to go back and remember that Satan, Lucifer, was an angel that God created. But he got to thinking too highly of himself, and he had, I don't know how many angels there are in heaven, have no idea, but I know a third of them followed Satan. So there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them that we have the potential to have to deal with. I don't say that to scare you or to freak you out. I want you to remember that you are to be strong in the Lord, and it refers to the strength that's derived from God. We have to remember that God is what? All powerful. When he's all powerful, there ain't nothing more powerful than God. And if you're God's child and you have the Holy Spirit in you, there's not a devil in hell can stop you. We have to understand that. So they were not created by Satan because God's the one that created them all. The demons are, in fact, fallen angels who joined Satan in his rebellion and because of it became perverted and evil. Listen to this. You're going to like this. Stephen Travis said this. He said, in the New Testament, it is not believers who tremble at the power of Satan, but demons who tremble at the power of God. Bam! Amen? Let me read that to you again. In the New Testament, it is not believers who tremble at the power of Satan, but demons who tremble at the power of God. You know why? Because they recognize his power. They recognize it. So in order for us to stand, therefore, in the heat of the battle, you and I as believers have to have every piece of God's armor. I remember this morning I was driving up the road and I was listening to some Southern gospel music and just praying and asking the Lord to watch over my day. And I just, as part of that, I just went right into, Lord, I need your armor today. I need armor today. I don't know what this day has. I don't know what I'm going to be facing today. But I need the armor. And I'll tell you, it's a good thing that I had the armor on, because there's some goofy people out there. I'm just saying. Yes. So, we have to have on all the armor of God. The order of the pieces that are listed in those verses, in the order in which it are in the order in which a soldier would put them on. First, Paul wrote, "Fasten the belt." And this is going to be repetitious from Sunday, but it's good for us. Paul wrote, "Fasten the belt of truth around your waist." This belt also is called a girdle. It's, 6-8 inches wide, probably made of leather, held together by, it held the clothing underneath as well as holding the other pieces of the armor and plate, like the breastplate and the sheath for the sword. And it may have even contained a breech cloth or an apron that protected the lower abdomen. It may have also braced the back in order to give strength. But when the belt was, this is an interesting thing. I don't know. It really interested me as I studied this and found this to be true, that when the belt was fastened, It referred to the fact that the soldier was on duty and ready to fight. The belt was on and fastened. It meant that he was ready to fight. He was on duty. He was ready to fight. A slack belt meant that he was off duty. If his belt was just kind of just, they got it cinched up, and so he's off duty and he's relaxed a little bit, and so a slackened belt meant that he was off duty. Christians, however, have to face every day with the belt fastened, ready to fight the battle when needed. Think about a police officer that, when I was a kid growing up, to my knowledge, they didn't wear the bulletproof stuff and all that kind of stuff. But today, every police officer has, a flat jacket or a bulletproof vest, a protection body armor of some kind. It would be foolish today for a police officer to go on duty without having that on. Without having it ready for the day. They just don't do it. And as Christians, you and I have to have our belt fastened. We gotta have the armor on. Listen, a police officer never knows when he's gonna get shot at. You and I, as Christians, don't ever know when we're gonna get shot at. And so we've gotta be ready. The devil's not going to come to you. His demons are not going to come to you and say, "Oh, by the way, high noon, me and you in the street." Eh? That ain't the way it works. When you're off guard is when he's coming for you. We have to have every day the belt fastened, ready to fight. As the belt formed the foundation of the soldier's armor, the truth is the foundation of the Christian life. This truth refers to the believer's character as a person who can be relied on for the truth. Let that just sink in for a minute. Boy, I'll tell you, we live in a world where to get truth is crazy. I've I've been asked different things time after time after time, and I don't want to go into specifics, but I've been asked certain things time after time, day after day, and I always tell them the truth. And this other fella said, why don't you just lie to them? Why don't you just tell them you're this or you're that? I mean, because it's really not a big deal. I said, well, because it is a big deal. I'm not going to lie to somebody. I'm not going to take the chance of lying to somebody just to throw them off kilter a little bit. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you that you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. To the best of my ability, I'm going to tell you the truth. Truth is the foundation of the Christian life. A person's character, as a person that can, don't you want to be the kind of person that can be relied on for the truth? When somebody comes and says, hey, whatever, asks you a question, what comes out their mouth is going to be the truth. And in our society that we live in today, you can go turn on any news program and just sit there and listen to it, and you don't have a clue whether they're telling the truth or whether they're lying. Everybody's trying to promote their own whatever, and you don't know who's being honest or not. It's difficult at best. I personally want to be one that can be relied on for truth. It also refers to the truth of God's Word and His message in the Gospel. Listen, if God says it in His Word, can I just tell you something? I'll just break it down for you. It's the truth. He didn't change it for Moses. He didn't change it for Noah. He didn't change it for Matthew or for Peter or any of the rest of them. And He's not going to change it for you and I. God's Word does not line up with us. We line up with God's Word. And there's a lot of people that don't like the idea of lining up with God's Word because it's restrictive. That's why He says in places that narrow is the way that leads unto salvation, and few are they that find it. You know why? Because we want to have it our, this is not Burger King. You don't get it your way. You get His way or you don't get there. So when the enemy, who is in fact the father of all lies, attacks with his lies, with his half-truths, and with distortions, as believers, we can stand on the truth that we believe. Jesus prayed this for His followers in John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them, or set them apart, right? That's what that word sanctified means. Set them apart, Lord. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth. If it says it in God's Word, you can put it in the bank. You can build your life upon it because it's truth. In talking about the breastplate of righteousness, it speaks of right acts that are practiced by the believers. The breastplate protects the heart of the soldier. And before we look at this next topic too closely, I want to look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. It says this, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Man, I could preach for a week on that, on that verse. Because that verse is just loaded down with implication. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Well, what are they talking about? Well, let me put it in the simplest form. The Bible says that it would be better for us to not even get married. Why is that? Does he just don't want us to be married? No, that's not what he was saying. What he was saying was, because when you get married, now you have the concern of the woman to look after. And the woman has the concern of the man. And all this kind of stuff. And it just, now we got children. Now we got grandkids. Now we got all this other stuff. And all, you know, and so now, you see, well, I see it a lot as a pastor trying to get, you know, people engaged and involved in the church. You know, folks have kids. They got sporting events. They got this event. They got the other event. They're going here. They're going there. You know, and then it's, put the verse back up, Steve. No one is talking about the affairs of this life. The things of this world. Well, let me take it to you this way. How much more of this is going to be on film, ain't it? What more could possibly we get done evangelizing and reaching this city if I wasn't going to get up in a few hours and go drive a truck for 14 hours tomorrow and the next day and the next day? The affairs of this life, entangled with... I'm not complaining. You all know I'm not complaining. I love my job. But there's going to come a time when my job is going to interfere with my ministry. And when it does, it isn't going to be ministry that goes down the road. Now that's a tough statement. That's a tough statement, but I've done it before. And both Paul and Timothy are seeking to be good soldiers of Christ. All who enlist in military service exchange. Why, when you go to boot camp, why do they send you away from your family? Why do they not let people that are in boot camp have their girlfriend or their wife or whatever with them? Why, when you go to boot camp, do you not get to live down at the Holiday Inn Motel? You're exactly right. It's a distraction. You stay on the base, you stay in the bunk, you stay in the dormitory, you stay on the campus where all your comrades are, where all your fellow soldiers are, you sit at the table, you eat together, you run together, you do push-ups together, you pick beans together, you do whatever you're doing, you do it together, you go to the gun range together, you go over there together, everywhere you go together. You know why? Because they want you to know this is your family. This is your team. Don't be distracted. Boy, oh boy. Could we see some of that in the church? Once enlisted. See, all who enlist in military service exchange their lives as civilians for lives as soldiers. Anybody been in the military in this house tonight? Anybody at all? Did you have an option? None. You're told to do something. You didn't ask why. You didn't ask when. You didn't ask how long it's going to take. You just go. And you do whatever it is. If it's go out in the parking lot and pick up rocks that are the size of a pea and put them in this barrel, you go out in the parking lot and you pick up rocks that are the size of a pea and put them in the barrel. Once enlisted, recruits are expected to loyally obey their commander and to endure the training program. As a soldier of Christ, it is your single-minded purpose to please Him. Well, I'm getting ugly now, ain't it? Because I'll tell you right now, I think that number in the church is pretty small. I think it's minute. It could even be microscopic. Because you think of what single-mindedness talks about. As a soldier of Christ, is your single-minded purpose to please Him? You're married. You can't say that. Can you? Because you're also trying to please Him. And you're trying to please her. But as the marriage unit becomes one, right? Now can your mind be single-minded as a unit, single-minded toward God, to please God in your home, to please God in your marriage, to please God in all the... See what I'm saying? This stuff is... I mean, this is layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. It just gets tougher and tougher. It's. I said earlier, this is restrictive. You got to ask yourself, how bad do I want to be a child of God? It's one thing to be a child of God. It's another thing to be a soldier in the army of God. Because a soldier, as a soldier of Christ, as an enlisted one, as a recruit, as a born-again person, I'm just trying to wrap everything up in this, we are expected to loyally obey our commander and to endure the training program. I started a training program for young men over in the other building. And I think, what do we have, like 8 or 10 guys, young men coming to that thing. And the very first Sunday I said, listen guys, I want you guys to be here. I give them all these materials that I wanted them to have, all this kind of stuff. And I said, every Sunday, you guys have got to be here. Every Sunday, without fail, you have to be here. How long did that last, Bob? 6 weeks most, at the most? And then they just started fading away, and bless God, Steve back there is the only one that was still going. That's the truth. And you want to know what I think happened? I'll tell you what I think happened. In retrospect, exactly what we're talking about here tonight. Exactly what we're talking about. Spiritual warfare infiltrated those young men and their families, and frankly, all hell broke loose in many of those families. Some today are divorced that were in that group, divorced. Others scattered, haven't been here for months, well, for over a year, haven't been here. And it's because we don't have a single-mindedness. Now, I love them guys. I love every one of those guys, and I'm not putting them down for nothing. I'm not. I just understand that as soldiers, we've got to come and be submitted to this training process to be raised up to be mighty men of God. Spoke with a young man 2 weeks ago. And I said, what are you doing for a living? Oh, I don't know. Well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to run equipment. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something, man. In this industry, to run equipment, you got to get your boots muddy. You got to get wet. You got to start on the ground, down in the hole, doing whatever. You got to do whatever. Nobody's going to just take some young man and say, there you go, run this $200,000 piece of equipment. No, it's not the way it works. You start at the bottom and you work your way up. It's the same way in ministry. As a soldier, we have to be single-minded. We have to have our minds need to be to God, how can I please you? Lord, what can I do to please you? How can I serve your church? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about his church because this is his church. God, how can I serve your church? How can I please you? In what ways, church, are you and I carrying out his specific order? He gave one specific order at the end of Matthew in chapter 28, I think it is. At the end of the end of Matthew, he said, "Go ye into all the world and proclaim the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father." That's the mandate. He said the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And it's all wrapped around this idea of spiritual warfare, because the last thing that the enemy wants is for you to catch on fire. For you to catch on fire. For you to catch on fire with this idea of the gospel of Jesus Christ getting out. It's the good news. That's what gospel means, is good news. And when we begin to do what he said and tell our neighbors, tell our friends, tell our families about the goodness of God, the love of Jesus, and people start coming to church. I've said it before, a church alive is worth the drive. People will drive from wherever if God shows up in this place. I believe it. So let's look at this, Ephesians 6:14. Holy cow, we're almost about out of time. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So the soldier puts on the breastplate of righteousness, which was a large leather, bronze, or chainmail piece that protected the body from the neck to the thighs. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 17, it says that God put on righteousness as his breastplate. Wow. Think about that. Protecting the vital organs, the breastplate was the vital piece of the soldier's armor. No soldier would go into battle without it. And often, this had a back piece, too, that protected some of the body from hits from behind. And I've often said that there's no protection for your back, as we are to never turn and run from the battle. And I still hold that true today. We are to face the fight, not run from it. However, I want to submit to you that even the scripture says that there have been wolves that have gotten out amongst you and I to destroy us. How many of you know that oftentimes a wolf will sneak up behind you? Mountain lions will sneak up behind you and attack you from behind. It's hard to fight behind you. Just difficult. They know that. They're smart enough to know that. Oftentimes it's those that are among you and I that can stab you in the back and cause great harm, and if not kill you spiritually. How many people do we know that are not in church today because they've been hurt by the church? I personally feel like a lot of the reason that the church as a whole isn't any healthier than it is because you get mad about something that I've said or somebody in the church said or whatever, and you get your tail in a knot and you don't come and deal with that with the pastor or with the staff or whatever, and you just say, "Well, I'm just not going back there anymore." And so you take your anger and you go across the street to the next place and you sit under that ministry until they make you mad, and you go and we just spread this stuff all over the country instead of stopping it like the scripture says and dealing with it. Listen, it's never fun to go to the doctor. I'm almost dead before my wife can get me to the doctor. In fact, the last time I went to the doctor, she said, my doctor's a girl, and she said, Don't ever wait this long again. She was not happy with me. I said, well, I just don't. She said, I know you don't like coming, but I'm telling you, don't wait this long again. It's true. We've got to get these things when it starts. When it's that little thing. We've got to get them taken care of. And as we do, the church will begin to get healthy. Amen? So, where am I even at? So righteousness provides a significant defense. It gives the evidence that we have been made right with God and that this righteousness has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. So believers have been made right through the blood of Christ. And then believers then want to live in uprightness and in integrity. Can I tell you something? If there's one thing that this world's lacking today, it is integrity. It is integrity. I guess I'm really old-fashioned or something, but I just believe in telling the truth, and I believe in integrity. If I tell you I'm going to do something, that's exactly what I ought to do. Amen? I mean, people ought to be able to expect that of you. We've been made right. We've been made right through the blood of Christ. The believer then want to live uprighteous, live in uprightness and in integrity, desiring to please one who saved them, yet it won't be easy. It won't be easy. Satan is ready for battle at every turn. He's willing to hit you and I in an unfair way. He from behind, even if given the chance. Righteousness is the opposite of the attack of Satan's complete wickedness. Satan seeks to thwart righteous living, and he don't care how he does it. And he knows exactly how every one of us are wired and exactly what it will take or could take if we're not on guard to throw us off balance, if you will. When the enemy or the accuser tries to convince us that we're not really saved, and the fact that you just keep disappointing God, and you're a poor excuse for a Christian. You and I ought to be able to stand up to him because of righteousness that we have been promised through our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22, and I'm closing with this. It says this, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. To all who believe. Every one of us. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus to all who believe. Do you believe? Do you want to be more than what you are tonight, sitting in this place or watching by way of the internet? Listen, I want to be more. I want to be. There are days, I'm just going to tell you, there are days when I just want to just throw in my hat and just be done. Days when I am frustrated. Can I just tell you something? I'm smart enough to know that that is not coming from God. And one of you, somebody, will call me or whatever, or I'll get in some conversation with just some random person. Today it happened again. I was hauling a piece of equipment. Going up on Rock Island, and I don't even know who this person is. To this day, I don't know who it is. But they'll say, hey, is that the preacher coming? And I always say, yeah, it's me. Oh, hey, how you doing? I have no idea who this person is. I have no idea. If it's an angel, she has a CB. She has a radio. She can communicate. But it just makes you feel good that somebody recognizes that. And I don't know who this person is. And that kind of bugs me, but at the same time, it's kind of neat, you know. Listen, we're gonna talk about having your feet shod with the gospel starting next Wednesday. Well, actually, let me think about this just for a second. Because next Wednesday is the day before Thanksgiving, and many of us will have family members and be preparing for different things. Let's just get together in 2 weeks. How about that? I'll just make an executive decision right here, right on the spot. And with the COVID and all the other things that are going on right now, we'll just take next Wednesday, we'll just take it off. How about that? And we'll come together the next week, and we're going to talk. Listen, I give you guys clues about what we're going to talk about because I want you to be a good soldier and go home and study it. So we're going to be talking about the preparation of the gospel of feet, having your feet shod with the preparation. Do you know does anybody in here not have a computer? You do not have a computer. Huh? You got a study Bible, right? Get in your study Bibles. If you have a computer, you can Google. Right? Fred, they can Google your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and come up with a myriad of things. Now, having said that, you have to be kind of careful what you buy into on there, but study. Don't come here on Wednesday night expecting me to fill you up with all of this stuff, because I ain't that smart. Amen. I can't get you through till Sunday with what I teach you on Wednesday, and I can't give you enough on Sunday to get you through back to Wednesday. That's not my job. The scripture says you are to study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. That's your job. My job, I'll just share it with you. My job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Amen? That's my job. I love every one of you. I appreciate you being here. And I pray that you have a great Thanksgiving. I pray that we remember why we have Thanksgiving. Yes, it's about our nation, but what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're here and support this ministry and sit under Rick. Would you ever have thought this? Not in a million years. That guy and I, we were inseparable in school. And this is the last place. Well, I'd have never thought that he would be a deputy sheriff either. Never would have, but yet he was. He just retired. Bless you. Bless you, man, for your service. Nobody would have ever thought that I was going to be a preacher. In fact, a lot of people never thought I'd live to be 30 years old. But here I am, and I'm grateful to God for it. And I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. Amen. Father, I sure love you tonight, and it's because of you that any of this has been made possible. God, it's because of you that Lord, you knew I was going to be doing this, and nobody else did, including me. But God, you work in mysterious ways. Help us, Lord, to be good soldiers. Help us to put our time in boot camp. Help us, Lord, to be single-minded, in light of the gospel, to do all that you have called us to do. Help us to be an army, equipped, dressed up for battle, and ready to fight. Lord, I thank you for it. I pray for every person watching tonight by way of the internet. God, that you would bless them. Lord, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out on your people. Lord, I pray for the increase of the finances in this church. I pray for the increase of finances in every household, God. For those that are faithful to give to your kingdom, God, bless them. You said you would. You said you would, Lord. So now I pray for healing. I speak healing, Lord, in lives of your people. God, there are many that are sick, some battling COVID, some battling heart disease, some battling cancer. God, I'm reminded of little Debbie up the creek there. God, touch her, Lord. Touch her, heal her of this stinking cancer, God. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Anyone else, Lord, that is battling some form of cancer, God, heal them, Lord. Show your strength, oh God, to heal. God, and just set them, freak out the doctors, Lord. God, I thank you for it. God, I pray for rest. I pray for strength. God, I pray specifically tonight against this COVID pandemic that they're calling, Lord. Again, you get all these different specialists that have a different opinion about it all the time. God, you can just destroy the whole thing. Lord, we just come before you and ask you to just destroy it. Wipe it out. Lord, by your Holy Spirit. There are those that say we'll never return to any kind of normalcy, that we'll always be locked down, that we'll always be having to do the masks and all this. No, Lord, no, that's not what you've created and called us to be. So Lord, right the wrong, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, be with your people. Let them experience and be blessed by your presence in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Thanks for watching tonight by way of the internet. God bless you. God go with you.